I'm Jordan Hamm alongside Haley Stasiak, filling in for the big guy today. We have a lot to get to. Brad will be joined by Peter King later in the show, as well as Kaylee O'Kelly, as well as Talk to the Lope. So a lot to get to for Brad Sesmatt, but we're handling the news and notes today. And Haley, Diamondbacks win 6-4 over the Rangers, wrap up, get the split on the two-game series like they did last week against the Rangers. Another solid outing for Patrick Corbin. It's been kind of an up and down road trip for them. This was kind of a road trip that we thought could be.
We talked about that on our Diamonds in the Desert
Yeah,
podcast.
we thought that this could be a run where they could kind of beat up on a couple lower tier teams, three last place teams. What was just your big takeaway from this series for the Rangers?
It was Paul Goldschmidt, honestly. I mean, he's now has a hit streak in 21 straight games, where he's reached base safely in 21 straight games. So just seeing Paul Goldschmidt continued to do what he's doing despite those recent struggles. There was a players' meeting over the weekend. Apparently, Torey Lovullo was involved with that as well. So I don't think there's any reason to worry. I think that it's just a slump. It's baseball. It's the game of baseball. I mean, the Dodgers are slumping as well. So I think, yeah, my biggest takeaway was Paul Goldschmidt. He does have that 21-game hit streak, had a home run in the first inning as a designated hitter, his third career home run in that position. So that was on Tuesday in that win. So.
And that was something that, obviously Torey Lovullo at the start of the year kind of talked about potentially limiting Paul Goldschmidt's games to
getting
kind
him
of,
more rest.
Making sure that he was fresh kind of throughout. That hasn't really happened
No.
because he's been so good. And they touched on that on the broadcast on Fox Sports Arizona last night with Jody Jackson. But this is a good way for Paul to get kind of like almost a half day.
Right.
He's not going out in the field.
Half day, that's a good way
he's
to
doing the
put it.
designated hitter thing. But
he likes that role. He did say post game, he told Jody that he did like the role.
Another strong outing from Patrick Corbin, now 10-4 on the year. He had 7 innings pitched, 6 hits given up, 3 earned runs, and 7 strikeouts. And this is kind of something we also touched on our podcast we recorded this morning. The Rangers have a really good offensive lineup. The reason that they're in last place is not because of their offense by any means. So I think that if you look at the numbers for both Zach Greinke and for Patrick Corbin, not their best, especially for Greinke. He got hit a little early, but this is a team that's going to hit. So very small, kind of, I think, microcosm. The ball flies in Arlington.
It does.
So I don't think anything to be worried about in terms of that. NL West-wise, we definitely wanted to touch base with the Dodgers and the Giants. They had a little bit of extracurriculars last night.
Extracurriculars.
Yeah, so Yasiel Puig up to bat, fouls off a ball, is upset with himself, kind of. Tossing his bat around. Nick Hundley, former Arizona catcher, Arizona Wildcat, apparently made some comments to him. Puig didn't like that. Turned into a benches clearing brawl, or I guess benches clearing shoving match.
There was some slapping in there.
I don't think that constitutes a brawl, but you can tell that it's starting to get
Tempers
to that time of
flaring.
The year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's starting to get to that time of the year. It's not quite September baseball, but you can feel the stakes are getting a little bit higher with each and every game. The Dodgers, just like the Diamondbacks, the past couple of games have struggled. That's mainly I think the big positive for the Diamondbacks, even though they didn't really take care of business as well as maybe they wanted to against the Rangers and the Reds. The Dodgers have struggled as well, but now that means that the Rockies have slipped in there. As it sits currently, Arizona is 66-55 leading the way in the NL West. Colorado is a game behind. The Dodgers are 2 games behind, and the Giants are 5 games behind. I feel like they just continue to hang around.
I feel as though some people are underestimating the Giants in that sense. I mean, I don't necessarily
I
think
totally
the Giants are going to come back up and overtake the Rockies, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks in that sense, but they've played that uphill battle pretty well.
And the beginning portion of the season, they didn't have Madison Bumgarner. They are built on that pitching staff, obviously. And Mark Melancon has been out the entire year. They've made do with what they have. They typically have a pretty strong farm system, so they've been able to call some guys up. They've been able just to hang around, and I think that's all you can really ask for that Giants team. And they've been in the big moments, and it's even when last year they were kind of a lower tier team. They were really struggling with all the injuries and everything like that. Every time the Diamondbacks went up to San Francisco every time on our podcast in our coverage of the Diamondbacks, I said the series is just going to be weird. It's just tough to win games in AT&T mm-hmm. consistently. So definitely don't count out San Francisco by any means. But this is going to be a really fun 6 weeks as we approach the postseason.
It's been a fun season with the NL West.
Yeah.
That's been the most exciting division in baseball.
Yeah. And I think if you are a Diamondbacks fan, you're looking for a little bit more consistency. It seems like it's been a little bit of feast or famine where mm-hmm. it's Diamondbacks are rattling off 8 of 10 wins, or it's 2 or 10, right. 2 of 10 wins. It's not, they haven't really had kind of that middle ground. So they have two big series coming up at the end of the month against Colorado, against the Dodgers. They also have a Mariners one sprinkled in.
I'm looking
there.
Forward to that one.
I am too. I think that, you know, anytime you can incorporate interleague and it's really good interleague, mm-hmm. It's going to be
fun time.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
especially at Chase Field.
It's going to be exciting, and as we've seen, you know, Diamondbacks can utilize the DH when they're on the road in mm-hmm. the interleague. So always fun. One other thing that we wanted to touch on. So Hard Knocks episode.
It's not
two.
A show that I am super plugged into.
I am.
But I've been wanting to.
So if
I've been wanting to get more into it.
If it's those docuseries sports shows, I'm all over it. All or Nothing. Hard Knocks. I know Showtime had a baseball series following the Giants a couple years ago.
I did watch Last Chance U. I didn't watch
Last
the second
U
season, but I watched or the new whatever
the new
one on Netflix. Yeah, I haven't watched that, but so that is one I've watched. But I haven't gotten into Hard Knocks, and I really you've kind of sparked my flame with that. I want to.
Yeah.
Get
so we were watching the beginning of episode two because there, I think there was a lot of surprise in the past week or so. Whenever it happened, I think it was 8 or 9 days ago. Corey Coleman, the 2016. First round pick of the Cleveland Browns, which is where Hard Knocks is this year. I think I buried the lead on that one. Browns are featured with this preseason. Corey Coleman, 2016 first round pick out of Baylor, stud receiver. They had quite a few additions at the wide receiver position this year and offensively. Within the first 3 minutes of the episode, we have Corey Coleman asking why he's with the second team to Hugh Jackson, like pretty emphatically. Mm-hmm. Like it was kind of a bark, not really a question.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a bark. It was definitely a...
It wasn't, hey, coach.
I deserve this. Why am I not getting
this?
Yeah,
it wasn't, hey, coach, why am I with second team? It was a little more emphatic.
It wasn't inquisitive. It was more...
And Hugh Jackson just says, well, you should talk to Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator. And then just like that, Corey's like, you might as well just trade me. Cut to the open... On the other side of the open, Corey Coleman is traded. So
he's cleaning out his locker. He drives out in his Mercedes.
And says, adios,
we
Cleveland.
Watched it.
So
watched
that's just what I love about these series in particular.
It's real and raw.
You know, they are able to put the camera in the coach's office. And, you know, the last couple of episodes, every single season, it's always the who's the player, kind of the lower tier guy, but the fan favorite that you learn has... You know, is the first guy to go to college in his family and like has all these interesting storylines outside of football. And then they have to cut him because it's just the NFL is a numbers game. Yes. But the access that they get, I just love it. I love what All or Nothing has been able to do. Also, if you haven't seen it, All or Nothing also did a shorter series on the All Blacks, the New Zealand rugby team. Like the elite rugby team. I know nothing about rugby, but that was probably one of my favorite.
That would be an interesting
one. So that's Jordan's pop culture corner. But a lot of interesting stuff going on, definitely, within the sports world, certainly, whether it is with the Diamondbacks, the Suns, or, you know, we are inching closer to the start of the NBA preseason. And eventually, before we know it, it's going to be DeAndre
Ayton. We're
going to
be full throttle sports again.
Luka Doncic, yeah.
Hockey training camp coming up
Cardinals
in September.
Cardinals are about to kick off their second preseason game, you know, the battle with Sam Bradford and Josh Rose, and I still feel like it's Sam Bradford's team, definitely, but you just continue to hear kind of rave reviews about what they've been able to throw at Josh Rosen and how Josh Rosen has been able to handle it. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Coming up next, we're going to have Brad Sesmat with Peter King on everything NFL. That's coming up on the Brad Sesmat Show.
Let's turn our attention now to the NFL, and the other night, the hazard pay that Eric received for sitting through 32 called penalties in a game that almost went 3 hours and 45 minutes, and the two starting quarterbacks really didn't play much at all. Eric wasn't alone in getting hazard pay. Peter King got it too. Football Morning in America, NBCSports.com. It's always good to catch up with Peter. How would you describe Saturday night's preseason thriller with the Cardinals and Chargers first and foremost?
Excruciating would be my word of choice. Brad, just reminds me why, I mean, it's so much better to try to really find things out, to actually go to somebody's training camp rather than to go to these games. I mean, the officials have basically been put on notice, you know, when in doubt, call these penalties that we're having as points of emphasis this year. That includes that helmet penalty, includes the new what is a catch rule. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily blaming the officials. I'm just saying it's unwatchable dribble for the most part.
The unwatchable dribble, I like that. So, okay, in seriousness, I've seen this happen over in the NBA where they said, yeah, we're going to call every hand check rule, and a week into the season, they stopped calling it. In the helmet and the catch rule, in a different sport, could be apples and oranges from your view, they've got to buckle down on this, or do you see this as, no, as the season goes on, they're going to find their way through it?
I hope they do. Hope they do basically, you know, find their way through it, as you put it, Brad. But I think my biggest fear is that the officials are still going to be getting used to, particularly the helmet rule, early in the season. I was with an officiating crew in Carolina, in Spartanburg, South Carolina, where the Panthers are, and one of the guys on the crew said, you know, we think we'll be a lot better at this by mid-season than we are early in the season. On one hand, that's pragmatic and real. On the other hand, it's kind of scary to think that a game or two early in the season might be sacrificed because the officials are still getting used to calling this call the right way. Now, you think, listening to that I think this is a bad idea. I do not think it's a bad idea. I like this idea, and I like the fact that the people in the league who are concerned about the future of football won in this issue and basically said, we're not going to allow players to lead with their heads anymore, and we're not going to allow them to have even contact with the helmet, even on the arm or the back or the leg. You know, it's going to be more than just helmet to helmet. But, you know, the devil is in the details on this one, Brad, and I just think it's going to take a while for people to get used to it.
Well, the tough part about it, Peter, is I'm sitting here and my inbox is filled with, please just talk about the game and the football and the position battles, because I'm tired of hearing about the commissioner and the president and whether Jerry Jones forgot to remove his hat during the anthem. It's been 2 years since Kaepernick. Right. And now you've got this, the officials, that there's just way, way, way too much on stuff off the field and not near enough on the field.
Yeah. You're right about that, Brad. I think I was just on the Rich Eisen show and I recorded my podcast with him before the show. And I asked him, what's the end game with this anthem thing? And in the course of his answer, he said, you know, do people really want to hear us talk about that?
No.
And it's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't think they do. But I do also think that the fact is it's going to continue to be a major issue, things like that, and plus the officiating. So you're bound to talk about it because it's going to have an impact on the game.
No, I agree with you. Peter King with us, the Football Morning in America website. You can check it out on NBCSports.com, Pro Football Talk, and you'll find great content, as always, from Peter. You were at the Cardinals-Chargers game. Let's talk issues. David Johnson, he gets back on the field. Bigger story is, and you wrote about this week, is his contract with the Cardinals. With what's happened with Le'Veon Bell, or hasn't happened with Le'Veon Bell, and Todd Gurley's number, where's David Johnson fall in the running back contract discussion, Peter?
You know, I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do, and I don't know how adamant David Johnson is going to be and how insistent he's going to be that they get something done. I think my feeling on this is that there's no way, if I was David Johnson, I'd take a dime less than Todd Gurley. I may structure the contract differently, but you know, he proved in 2016 that you know, he was borderline unstoppable. I thought the other night, if somebody said to me, "What's your big takeaway from this game?" The first two times David Johnson carried the ball, and I have no idea how many times he carried it, but first two times he carried the ball, he was a freight train rolling down the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing to see a veteran play the first two plays of the preseason like he just the same way as he'd play in the Super Bowl. I mean, and I thought he looked really, really impressive. The end game here, I think, has to be, you know, the Cardinals getting him in somewhere in the $14 to $16 million average category, I think.
The quarterbacks, you can't make much out of Sam Bradford, or could you make much out of him? Not just in watching, but also in talking with people and how he's doing out here.
You know, I think the one thing about Sam Bradford, I mean, this is a strange thing to say, but this is a very big year for Sam Bradford. Because when you think about it, I think I'm right in saying this is fourth team in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'm talking about four calendar years, like 14 through 18. I think he's been on four teams. And so you look at that and you say he's in danger of becoming just a journeyman arm who you'd love to have as a backup, but do you really trust him to be your quarterback? That's, I mean, and it's amazing for the guy who was the first overall pick in 2010 and never really failed. It's just that, he's never won big. B, he always seems to be in a place where there is movement at the quarterback position. And he needs to play really well and establish himself so that, whether it's in Arizona, which appears unlikely, but you never know, or somewhere, he's going to be some team's quarterback for the next 6 or 8 years.
I thought Josh Rosen the other night needed a shortstop's glove because the center couldn't find his way back to get him the ball, and he had to keep bending down to get it. I couldn't take much away because it is preseason. Could you make much out of Josh Rosen the other night, and what are you hearing about his development?
The confidence that Josh Rosen showed while playing, I'm not saying it surprised me, but if you ask me my one takeaway, it's that if you go back and watch a few plays that he made, because I kept looking at him as he played, and there was no hurried motion. There wasn't any nervous motion. There wasn't any sort of sudden stuff that you say, man, this guy, is he really comfortable doing what he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
He looked comfortable. And so, I mean, I would wait and see. If I were the Cardinals, I'd really want to see him play some in the third preseason game with the ones. I just want to see where he is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying in any way that he ought to play play opening day, but I'd like to see where he is with the players on this team that really count.
One last question on the Cardinals, Peter. And we're talking with Peter King, Football Morning in America. Check out his content at NBCSports.com. The Steve Keim cloud over the organization, or does he get it back in mode with the team and the league? What's your view of Steve Keim in that situation here?
It appears as though next week, I forget whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday when he's eligible to return, that he will return and the Cardinals will take him back. And, you know, as you know, the Cardinals really didn't appoint anybody in his absence to be in charge. It was sort of a group team effort. And so I think that he just steps right back into his job. And, you know, obviously they'll keep an eye on him just to make sure that he's okay and that nothing like this extreme DUI ever happens again.
Mm.
Because clearly, whether something led to that or not, I don't know whether something extensive or problematic led to that. But I do think when something like that happens, you just have to have your antennae up, and you've just got to watch him. And I'm sure he knows that there will be eyes on him. And my money is that he's probably going to come back a changed person. But again, they don't sell insurance for that kind of stuff. We'll see.
Before I get you out of here, where are you today? What camp?
I'm on my way to Oxnard to see the Dallas Cowboys here in California. We're currently in a pretty good traffic jam in Los Angeles, which, I mean, that would have to come as a major surprise.
Kind of like a 3-hour and 45-minute preseason game. And lastly, Most impressive camp you've been at that you weren't thinking, this team's really not going to do much, but you walked out of there saying, if things break right, they could be okay.
Baltimore. Very impressed with the quarterback, Joe Flacco. Impressed with Lamar Jackson. They're going to use them in tandem in some ways. And I think the other thing is they got some really good young defensive players that even if Terrell Suggs can't make it through a full season, I think they're going to be an interesting team on defense. They get Marshall Yanda, one of the two best guards in football, along with Zach Martin. He's back. So I think they have more weaponry on offense. They got a much better receiving core than they did a year ago, including with John Brown, the former Cardinal.
Yep, sure.
So I look at it and I say that I think they've got a real chance to be very competitive with Pittsburgh for the year.
Good to catch up with you. Safe travels, Peter. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brad.
Always good to catch up with Peter King. Peter King's Football Morning in America. Good content there. Sports360AZ.com. Back after this timeout. Welcome into the Arizona Media Podcast. I've worked with some very talented people, and while Kaylee O'Kelly and I, you're about to hear from in a second, did not sit side by side, when I was at 3TV, the word on Kaylee O'Kelly was hard worker, got it done. When I was there and saw her do her thing, even a better person than a worker, and she decided to go make the run to Dallas, and now she is back at ABC 15 in the morning. She's put a couple of shows under her belt, and I figured as though it's time to have her come on the Arizona Media Podcast, because as I've talked about on this podcast through the years, the idea of trying to be a mother, from what I have seen and observed, is just brutal if you want to be in TV news at night. It's just brutal. And so Kaylee tried it, and she succeeded at it. And then she did what I think most sane people do. And that's, I need to be a mom, or I need to be a dad in my case. When I almost lost my wife and almost lost our little guy on our fourth guy on delivery, I just looked around and said, what am I doing? So Kaylee O'Kelly, nice enough to come in and join us on the Arizona Media Podcast. It is good to hear your voice. It's good to see you on my TV in the morning. How are you?
You're giving me chills. Literally, Brad, I have goosebumps all over my body. You nailed it. It is so incredibly true. The balance between, let me rephrase it. The nightmare balance between work, life, family, and trying to remain sane and sort of be all things to everything in your life. You have to make a choice, even though sometimes it's super hard. We have to do it. And I remember when you made that choice, and I know that it was gut wrenching for you, but I don't think, you and I haven't talked about it, but I'm sure you never look back and have been sorry about it.
No. Here's the thing. I go back to my aha moment was, okay, I've got a producer who's calling me who wants me to go to San Diego to go get Randy Johnson 2 days after my wife almost bled to death delivering our fourth child. And that producer was kind of pushy about it. And I just said, are you hearing yourself? And this happens in our industry where we're very passionate about what we do. And that was my aha moment. This isn't about me, though. What was your aha moment when you got in the vehicle and you're driving home at night, I'm imagining, or something during the day, because you had medical stuff, too. You had something that just clicked and said, I can't do this anymore.
All right. there were a series of things. The medical stuff I have learned looking back was a byproduct, I believe, of what really became sort of a life, and I don't want to say misery because that seems like such a strong word, but when, you know, on a resume, you're at the top of your game.
Right.
You know, everything seems to be going your way. You're farther ahead of where you actually figured you'd ever land. But when you're looking at the grand scheme of things and you're getting sick and you're fighting cancer and you just don't feel good, it's sort of like you have to have that come to Jesus meeting and say, okay, what isn't going well? And for me, it was like everything. So I'll never forget that moment when the boss shut the door in Dallas. He went home for the night at, 6:45. And I'm sitting there with a group of sharks, and they all own that, rightfully. And I'm thinking, I'm not cut from this cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And so my executive producer at the time turned around, was getting ready to go home and read bedtime stories to my 18-month-old at the time and 3-year-old. And she said, oh, no, we don't take a lunch. And I thought, oh, okay, all right. So I'm going to navigate this. It's going to be okay. But here I was 3.5 years later, which was in March. And we talked about maybe a new assignment for me there. And then I found that management didn't want to move me. We were doing pretty well as a team at 10 o'clock. And that wasn't in the cards for me. And I just decided that there was just that moment where I thought, this can't be the only job out there.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be it. So I had to step out on faith. And I had to know that I wasn't going to be making any money if I made the right choice for myself and my family, at least not for a little while. And so I did. There was just that moment where I thought, it's going to be okay. And I was scared to death. Mm-hmm. But for the first time in my life, there was true faith there because I knew I could work at Starbucks. And I knew they had a decent benefits plan. And I mean, I might not be able to save money, but I knew that I could live simply. And that was it. And I realized in that moment, and I tell anybody who will listen, that the moment came when I knew that I didn't have to fit myself into the only peg that was being offered to me. But it was scary.
Yeah.
But I am so much happier now for doing it.
Well, you are a woman of faith too, and I'm a man of faith. And so the faith part of it is you don't know really what you're made of until you are being stretched, right? And so you don't know if you really believe in this stuff. And so you go through the stretching part, and the stretching actually makes you stronger, I do believe. So in your case, you were probably missing the parent-teacher conference meetings. You were going to be missing the parent teacher conference meetings, or you're having the kids brought by and at your desk, which I've seen.
Yeah.
I've worked when I worked at 3TV, I saw female front facing talent at night have their kids come in, sit at their desk, do their homework while they were on the air reading, and they were bawling during the breaks to me about it. So this was nothing new, but on the outside, everybody sees the smiley, happy news deliverer, front-facing talent. But on the inside, that person is miserable. Am I hitting you on the head here on this one?
Directly. And there was a point when I'm not a quitter. You make a deal, and you follow through on that deal. And that's mm-hmm. how my mom and dad raised me. But, yeah, it was almost instant because when I moved to Dallas, I went because I thought I was going to be doing a 4 p.m. newscast. It wasn't, it was one of those things where that's what I auditioned for. But then, I got promoted.
Yeah, you did well.
And I was grateful for it, but it was one of those things. Gosh, you don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. But I never wanted to be a main anchor. And again, grateful for the opportunity. But, this is about life quality stuff. And, I learned that in my quest to make sure I didn't let anybody down, the only person I was really letting down was myself and my family. And I feel pretty lucky that I was able to look at that and go, this isn't feeling right. Mm-hmm. I think my health was kicking me in the gut going, guess what? You can't do this. you can't do this because the stress is killing me. And more than anything, I think the guilt was killing me and my desire to want to be home and not pass my kids on the road while I'm going to work and they're coming home from school. It just wasn't enough for me. That's not what life is supposed to be about.
Tell me about the health. Give the audience just a minute or two of what you went through and where you are now.
So a couple of years ago, it was, I want to say November of 2015, having some really, really terrible stomach pains. And it turned out it was an ovarian cyst that appeared to be cancerous. And so there were a lot of concerns that I had ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. And luckily, Dr. Dennis Eckel out of Scottsdale is a phenom. And I was able to get him to operate on me. And we were able to salvage, you know, one side of, I guess, one ovary. And then, and he said, you know, we're going to keep it there and try to keep everything sort of normal as a female. And then a couple of years later, it was actually just this past December, you know, everything started acting up again. Same kind of pain. I called him, ran a series of tests, and he recommended a hysterectomy, full hysterectomy right away. So, I mean, 2018 has been crazy because I came back to Arizona. I was at the end of a contract. It was a forced medical leave, 6 weeks. And something happened during those 6 weeks where I had the surgery. I was in recovery. I was here in Arizona a lot. And that was when my aha moment happened. I thought, it's time to take care of myself and just chill out, slow down. And in those 6 weeks, I really got to have a glimpse of what life would be like. Not running and gunning.
I adjunct at Cronkite, just one class a year, and I think process is really important for college students. But I think in doing this podcast through the years, I found people really interested in the process, Kaylee, of how did you connect the dot of getting from Dallas of employment to Phoenix of employment? The general manager at ABC 15 is the well-regarded, well-respected Anita Helt. Did she reach out to you? Did your agent handle this? Take us through process.
I'm so glad that you asked me this. The answer is no, no, and no. In fact, in the process, I actually ended up dropping my agent because, you know, the best representation of me is me, right? So I think that's the truth for everybody. But again, another fear that I had to face. So I paid off my agent and happy. But what happened was when I let my general manager in Dallas know what was happening, I don't think that they really believed that I was going to be leaving a main anchor position in Market 5. Mm-hmm. And he said, nobody does this. What are you doing? Is everything okay? And I said, you know, everything's going to be okay. I just need this. I need to do this for me. And so, you know, in the day of social media, here's what's so nuts about this. The station asked me to you know, let the public know that this was my choice, that it wasn't their choice. And I was fine with that. So on my Facebook page, I just, you know, kind of explained what was happening, that it was time for me to just take a break, be a mom for the summer. And I announced what my last day was. Well, the next day, Chris Klein at ABC 15 reaches out to me. And he said, you're not done. What do you think? We've been friends a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ran ABC15.com when I was at ABC 15 back in, you know, 03 to 09, before I went to Channel 3. And he said, you're not done. What are you thinking? Are you nuts? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm nuts and I'm scared. And he said, look, have you thought about coming back to Arizona? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, that would be a dream come true. But, you know, right now I, you know, really just want to take a break. Why? And he said, well, you know, if you ever wanted a place to call home here, we would love to have you at ABC 15. Now, Brad, you know, I left ABC 15 back in 2009 to go to Channel 3.
Right.
And
sure.
So, but it's always been important to me to keep the backyard clean. You know, you do things right and everything does come full circle. And it was one of those moments that I said, Chris, I left. I went across the street. He said, we want you back. We want to do this right, but we want to make sure it's right for you. And I mean, every step of the way, I said, I want to spend time with my kids all summer. He's like, I don't know what this looks like. Let me go talk with Anita Helt and we'll get back to you. And we just kind of kept this open dialogue mm-hmm. over, you know, the summer. And then it just evolved into what it is. I started a business and told him about that. He said, you can do your business as long as there's no conflict of interest. And, you know, here we go. It's just been, you talk about faith. I just leaned into God and I mean, I finally have realized this is not my dance. It just isn't. And I think for the really, truly the first time in my life, I believe that. They're not just words of faith, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to step out on faith and into it to make this work. And they get me, you know?
I mean,
they understand me.
The process of a morning show. So it's so different, yet I still believe it is relevant in this day and age where everybody walks around with a phone and consumes their content on a phone. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing on the sports end, because I think that more and more people just consume it on phone. That's not the case with mornings. Mornings, you are going after a different audience, and I do believe that being on in morning is much more important this day and age than being on in the afternoon or evening just because of so many distractions. That said, how do you design a morning show? You've been at it for 2 days. You have a very, very talented person in Tyson Milanovic, who I've worked yes. with over at 3TV. They give you terrific resources from afar, from what I can see. How do you put about a morning show, and how much involvement do you have in that process?
Well, you know, you mentioned Tyson. He's incredible. We were both lucky enough, as you said, to work with him at Channel 3.
Yep.
Big part of the decision to come to ABC 15. We are in uncharted territory right now with the way digital is. In my opinion, you're absolutely right. The late night news isn't, in my opinion, as important as that early morning time slot. And what's so cool about being part of this whole digital thing is when you work for a company like Scripps with all the resources we have, you get to explore a space that a lot of other companies don't really have access to, because we do have the resources. You know, we can either look at mobile as something that is a driving force against us,
mm-hmm.
or we could use it to our advantage. And that is what is happening at ABC 15 and at Scripps stations. And management is open to ideas. And that's what's so cool about being part of this company again, because to go away when they had built something called Newsroom of the Future, there was a massive identity crisis, because you had all these people who were in heels and suits, you know, not understanding we had to be part of this news gathering game. And now to go back into that realm, 10 years later, with a group of people who completely get digital, driven by digital, resources are there, systems are in place, it's pretty incredible. I mean, the money, obviously that part of the game still needs to be figured out, because the digital dollars are not there yet. But when you're part of a group that's willing to try something new,
correct,
to try to figure out where the revenue stream can come from, that's pretty cool.
No, and that's where I'm at. You know, I walked away from TV. I walked away from radio because I saw digital in 2011 as the way to go. And that doesn't mean that there aren't times where it's tough. I mean, if it weren't tough, everybody would be doing what I'm doing. And I thoroughly enjoy it, because you can go 100 different directions. You're not caught up in what's trending on Twitter as you have to go cover that today. No, there's 100 other stories that are going to be trending on Twitter down the road. We're just being ahead of the game. Every station is out of the Cardinals. Every station's going to have the coach saying, yeah, we have a tough game this week. Tell me something I don't know. You know, it's the repetitiveness of the news that I think you've got to find your way through that. And I think in your space, your personality, okay, I'm not sucking up to you. I have no reason to do that, Kaylee. Okay.
Aww.
All right. But your personality is one that will be a magnet and an attraction. I think in morning shows, you have to have someone that is very well liked and very well regarded. But are you going to have opinion on things? Are you going to have an edge on things? Or do you play it down the middle?
You're asking me that question because you know I don't play down the middle ever.
Well, if the Cardinals, but here's the thing. In a morning show, if you come on the air and the Cardinals lose and they turn the ball over five times and they lose by 3 touchdowns, you can't be wearing red saying, "Our boys, it was so close." Is it? Well, it was awful yesterday. It was just really hard to watch. Now, that's not you either. That goes the other extreme. there's a thing that I, a point that I see in morning shows where there is some, we're all community, rah, rah, cheer, cheer. But if things don't go right, especially in sports, how do you handle that? Because you're a sports person. You could sit here and do this show.
Yeah, die hard.
Yeah, you could sit here and do this show very easily. But if the Cardinals are 4-12 this year, you are going to die hard.
Well, it's going to hurt personally. In fact, I'm on my way out to interview Michael Bidwill as we speak, which is kind of funny. But one of the cool things about working over at Channel 3, I think you'll agree, is that, you know, because it's an independent, at the time it was independent, yep. we could go there.
Yep.
And that was an absolutely beautiful thing. And I was, you know, much younger back then when I got to go kind of feel that space. And it was a much bigger gift, I think, than we all realized at the time, because we were able to develop our voice and just be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when, actually, let me say this differently. I know that we're all craving a connection to someone who, whether they agree with us, but I don't know that that matters more than connecting with someone who kind of gets you, no matter who you are, as a viewer or a listener or whatever. And, you know, if you fall on the sword for the Arizona Cardinals, either way, I think it's okay to have feelings and opinions, because we have politicians in life who are going to vie for votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got a great BS detector. And so if you don't, right? I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're
so
right.
I think if you're, you know, if you're a Pollyanna and you fake it, nobody wants that.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's annoying. So I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, yeah, that was a horrible game last night. You know, I wonder what they're going to do to pull it together next Sunday. Something better happen, because heads do roll. It's the NFL.
Wow, listen to you. Jeez. Steve Wilkes, be on edge. Kaylee's in town. Take shots.
I'm sorry. I get fired up.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Before I get you out of here, how do you balance a morning show with news versus just fun and people getting to know your personality? How do you do that?
I don't know. I got to figure it out.
Yeah,
I think for me now, it's a lot more natural than it ever could have been had I gone from a Channel 3 back to ABC 15. I mean, I went from Channel 3 being, you know, right next to Scott Passmore and at one time Kara Hitchcock, which was so much fun, an amazing highlight of my career, to going to CBS, which, you know, we all have called sort of the conservative broadcasting system. And I think that really helped to prepare me for where we are right now in this age. You know, we're fighting this notion of fake news. We source everything, which I think is truly important. We go and we get our own sound bites and we do those things. But I think that one of the key components in coming back to news and a news station was being able to add my own two cents. Now, that doesn't mean editorialize, but what it does mean is being able to share these stories with Arizona, with a sense of what Arizona wants, needs, loves, and feels, right? Because I am an Arizonan, and I think that I'm hoping that people feel that when they're waking up with us, not just tuning in to get the headlines. We can get that on our cell phone, right?
Right.
But
right.
you want people to have, you know, that feel-good sense that when they're starting the day, it's not all gloom and doom, right? We all have to have hope. I mean, I think hope is the one thing that makes everybody tick. It's what keeps us going every single day. And at the risk of sounding incredibly cheesy, I think that there is a need for that, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. That's not cheesy. That's just a fact. What is it you're going to do as a mom now that you weren't able to do when you were sitting there at night? Are you a good cook? Are you going to cook dinners now? I mean, are you good at this, Kaylee? Or what are the things you're going to be able to do now that you weren't able to do? Are you going to coach the soccer team for your kids? I don't know. Are you?
I am. Be horrible at it and have fun at the same time.
There you go. There you go.
I'm going to burn chicken and popcorn and all those things. I'm going to do homework. I'm going to just sit on the couch and do nothing with my kids and love every single second of it. I'm going to soak them up and smell their dirty little heads after school.
Well,
and it's going to be fun.
That's good. I'm glad you're back and you sound great. And your journey, I think, as you said earlier, has prepared you for this. I look forward to seeing you in person. And thanks for the visit on the podcast.
Thank you. I can't wait to talk with you more offline about your business and how it's working, Brad. Thank you so much for being an inspiration.
You got it, Kaylee. There's Kaylee O'Kelly, ABC 15 Mornings. She is back 4:30 to 7, and that is this week's Arizona Media Podcast. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics, school getting back in session. That means fall sports getting underway. The women's soccer team in this weekend on the road in Spokane against Gonzaga, and then over at Washington State, Derek Leader, their head coach, he joins us for a couple of minutes here on Talk to the Lopes. How are you, Coach?
Good. Thanks for having me.
No worries. No problems. As you come into this season, what are you most excited about into this weekend?
Well, there's a lot of new blood, so we're excited about all the new players we've added, the ones who kind of were trial by fire last year. So we're pretty excited. We've also been able to couple veterans that we do have left, we've been able to free them up and move them into more attacking roles. So it's an exciting time for us.
Into your third season, is the program where you want it to be?
Not the results. I mean, if you look at last year, the results didn't fall our way. We would win games in statistical categories except the category that matters, which is scoring.
Mm-hmm. In terms of things that you are most pleased with the program after coming into your third season, what would those be?
The athleticism of the recruits getting better and better each year, the attitudes of the team as a whole, the versatility that we now have. So we've got a lot of pieces that can move all over the field from, side to side and, front to back. So we're pretty excited.
Let's talk about Mackenzie Cook then and what she brings to the field and how she has played for you. Last season, she was all conference. Talk about Mackenzie a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, just her technical ability, her work rate, her vision off the ball is extremely good. She's very dangerous getting in behind the back line. She poses a threat constantly to other teams, either from shooting from distance or just with the speed of play and her ability to penetrate. So she's dangerous for sure.
Derek Leader with us. Talk to the Lopes. You defeated Colorado College in an exhibition match. What did you take from that as you come into Gonzaga this weekend?
Well, you talked about Mackenzie Cook. She was able to score two of the goals. The other goal was scored by newcomer Andrea Martinez, a JUCO transfer. But two of the three goals were set up by freshman Danny Babb, just her work rate and her ability, quickness off the ball and quickness with the ball. She occupies the opposition's defense. So really she was a huge part in that win.
Derek, when you look at I go up and down your roster, you have nine local players. Just talk a little bit about your view of building a roster and where the state of Arizona plays into that.
Well, I mean, there's so many good teams and so much good soccer here, just right here in Phoenix. I don't know if it was overlooked in the past or maybe the top players weren't coming, but I think if you look around the university, you see the growth of the campus, you see the athletic facilities. I think we're a destination now, and maybe that wasn't the case in the past, but I think the top players in Arizona definitely consider Grand Canyon University, and we're getting quite a few of them. And the ones we have coming in our future are pretty top-notch.
And in one of those players who is here, who is a local tie, is Jessica Wong. We had Jake Wong on the show. Jake, of course, is now in the major leagues. It's a really cool little story, I think. Tell me about Jessica and how you've seen her come along.
Oh, it's a great story, and obviously we're thrilled to get her at Grand Canyon. She was played her way into the starting lineup, ended up starting for the most of the year. But unfortunately, she tore her ACL in the spring. So we're fighting to get her back, hopefully by conference time.
Yeah. As a dad of a soccer kid in college, my daughter had two ACL tears. So I can only imagine it's not fun. This weekend, you go on the road. I like how your schedule's laid out. When you do go on the road, you're playing a couple of matches, a couple of days apart in a lot of places. You're going to Hawaii this year, but let's just focus on Spokane against Gonzaga and then going over to Pullman against Washington State.
Yeah, it's probably the toughest trip we have. It's probably actually the toughest weekend we have. Gonzaga is much more athletic, dangerous team, that we expect to play in a 4-3-3 formation. You know, it's difficult this time of year because you're looking at film from last year. You're seeing who's still on the team and around. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Washington State went deep in the national tournament last year. They finished the season ranked 19th. I think they're actually preseason ranked at 21 this year. They've got two girls on the under 23 national team. So it's going to be a challenging weekend for us for sure.
And then travel's challenging too. I've done that before. Are you flying into Spokane and taking the bus or and doing that whole
thing? Into Spokane, stay there for two nights. Head to Pullman, and then we actually have to travel back to Spokane and fly out the next day.
Yeah, so the girls are going to see some countryside, a lot of it.
I've done that, for sure.
Before I get you out of here, what is it that you think opponents are saying about GCU women's soccer coming into this season? They see you on their schedule. What do you think they're saying?
I think the people that know us, I think the people in the conference, I think the local teams like NAU, they know we're an up-and-coming team. They know the recruits. They know the recruits because they've lost out on a lot of them. Mm. So they know we're getting better and better. You know, we just got to do our job. We've talked to our team about doing our job daily. We don't talk about, you know, future goals and outcomes. We talked about what we need to accomplish daily. And that's really what we're all about. Each practice is getting better. But we don't have time to learn now in matches. We did that last year. So we've got to come out and get the job done on game time Friday.
Well, as a supporter of girls soccer, again, as my daughter went and played, and we like being involved in it, consider us a resource. If you have things that come up or cool stories, we appreciate you coming on this week on Talk to the Lopes.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it.
There's Derek Leader, head coach, GCU Women's Soccer, and that is Talk to the Lopes for this week.